Glory, 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 glory. All right. Matthew 28. In verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying unto his disciples. You see that in verse 16. 11 disciples. It is all authorities given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we say we have a walk, we have an ongoing walk in the walk of discipleship. Hallelujah. And you know, I started out, I made a statement earlier on when I exhorted us, and I didn't complete the statement. So I said, you know, you look around, you see, you ask a question, you say, where are the crusades? Are we together? Where are the crusades? Where are the fruits of the crusades? You see, crusades were not meant to disciple people. Crusades are meant to gather people to hear the word of God, so that they can believe and be healed and be saved. Are we together? Amen. That's what crusades are for. Is to gather people. That is why in crusades we give much attention. Yeah, we also give attention to the word of God, but we also give much attention to the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Especially the power and revelational gifts. The revelation was of wisdom, descending on spirit. These are the 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7 to 11. The gifts of the Spirit. You know, our gifts. Paul mentions, he mentions the workings of miracles, the gifts of healing, you know, and the gift of faith. Those six gifts are very major to getting people to believe in the gospel. They are very major. But you see, those meetings, you see, we must know what the meetings are for. You must know. If you work in an organization, for example, you work in an organization, you got called by the PRO of the organization or something, or, you know, department in terms of publicity, or maybe the human resource, and they tell you that we are having a meeting. Or we're having a coming together. You see, you must know what the meeting is for. For example, let's say they say we're having a board meeting. Yeah, I mean, this is December. A lot of companies are doing that. I do that also in my organization, and I'm going to do that. So, you know, you call your staff together and say, we're having a board meeting. We're having a meeting, the staff meeting. And then we want to look at where we succeeded or failed in 2025, you know, so that we can be better prepared for the new year. Now, you didn't know, for example, let's say you didn't know that it was going to be a meeting like that. So you came dressed up in jeans and, you know, a white top, white and blue. Then you wore trainers that has bling bling lights. So you walk into the board meeting that way. You can't even be board meeting, because for you to have gotten to that point that can be invited for board meeting, there should be some sense in your head. Are we together? Or let's say they said we are having an end of the year get together, where, you know, it's just a get together. Let's ease. And there's a word they use for it. Let's unwind. Yeah, that's the word. Let's unwind. You know, it's end of the year. Let's unwind. Then you come dressed up like you're going to preach in a crusade. So it tells you that. The kind of meeting appears the way you prepare for it, right? Right? That, in the world, is the same with the church. For example, look at us this morning. Majority, if not all, majority, you came around with your Bibles, right? And your notepads. Because you expect to take notes. Because you knew that we were coming for a teaching meeting. Are we together? A teaching meeting. That means in the church, there are also different kind of meetings in the church. There are teaching meetings in the church. There are also prayer meetings. Now, you don't go to prayer meeting expecting to be taught. We are not teaching here, we're praying. Are we together? We're praying. So, and the kind of meeting you're going for affects the way you prepare for them. So, look at the crusades are evangelistic meetings. They have a purpose. The purpose is to preach or teach the word of God, yes, and also to get people to hear God's word so that they can be saved. And so they can be healed. They can be healed. Now, it doesn't mean that healing only happens in crusades. Healing can happen everywhere. Healing can happen in a prayer meeting. Like Acts 3, they were going to pray at the gate called Beautiful. They got a man healed. Are we together? They got a man healed. Healing can happen in a teaching meeting. Jesus many times taught. Many times he taught God's word. And having taught God's word, people came to him to be healed. He teaches in the synagogues, in the cities and villages. There are people got to be healed as he taught. The Sermon on the Mount was a four-day teaching. And then after the teaching, the leprous man came to him. He says, what do you want? He says, if you will, let me be healed. And then he touched him. He said, be healed. And the man got healed. Are we together? So we can heal the sick in the teaching meeting. We can heal the sick in the prayer meeting. The sick can get healed anywhere. Are we together? God doesn't put a cap on healing. He can get healed anywhere. I've gotten people healed in birthday ceremonies before. Birthday ceremony. I remember a time like that. A woman got healed in a burial ceremony in Ibadan. Around, was it Songo? It was one of those Songo area or somewhere else. I forgot the name now. I can't believe there's a cemetery around there. We go where to bury someone there. And the woman go, you, while we were mourning, we were mourning the dead, and then someone got healed. We were mourning the dead, and someone got healed. The dead didn't pray for him. I mean, we pray for her. And then, having gotten her healed, we switch back again into mourning the dead. Praise God. The sick can get healed anywhere. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. So, but that's what crusades are for. So, but look at this. Jesus has called us to make disciples. So, if you're asking the question, where has been the fruits of the crusades? Yeah, the fruits of the crusades have been there. Because many are saved now. But that is not really the work. The society doesn't get changed because people got born again. The society is going to get changed is because people are learning the word of God, which then changes their culture, which then contributes to the healthy growth, the godliness of the society. I don't know if you get that. Did you get that? The society ain't going to be changed until people's mindset is changed. And people's mindset get changed through teaching. Exhaustive, consistent, deliberate teaching of the word of God. That's what changes society. So we need more teaching meetings, right? And more crusades, isn't it? And also more one-on-one what? Evangelism. Door-to-door evangelism. So look at this, door-to-door evangelism, open-door evangelism crusades, and what? Teaching meetings. So you get ready. Tell anybody, say, get ready. Tell that person, say, get ready. Yeah, get ready. Tell the fellow, get ready to hold crusades. Hallelujah. You're smiling. He's telling you the truth. Someone like Pastor Chris, by the way, today is Pastor Chris's birthday. Pastor Chris, you are killing me. It's someone I revere a lot. You know, someone like Pastor Chris, he said he started holding his crusades at the age of 7. Yep. Hold crusades at 7. Sometimes I wonder who were experienced. He would crusades that early. He said he casted out his first demon. At 7 years old. Yeah. Imagine a 7 year old boy. Who is 7 years old? Yeah. And then he tells the demon, I command you, come out. Praise God. How about training our children's church like that? Yeah. You can train children's church like that. You see, children, whatever you train them, they will do. Then because we don't have plans for them, we give them Telemundo. And what is it they play on on YouTube? Cocomelon, thank you. So we give the kids Cocomelon. So as they grow, we are surprised. When they learn to behave like a teddy bear, the kid has been discipled with Cocomelon. Inanimate things. Hallelujah. There was a king in the Bible who started reading at 7. Praise God. You think those things are not possible? They are just boboios. No, they are. When the Spirit is upon a man, he will do more than his age. He will do more. He will do things that are more than his age. Than his age, or age. So your age will catch up with your exploits. The Spirit of God. Obviously, they are the godly kind of association. That means the father, the mother has to be strong Christians. The sibling has to be strong Christians. Children's church, full of the Holy Ghost, right? Speaking in tongues. Children speaking in tongues. 5 years old, 4 years old. Somebody say, how can 5 years old speak in tongues? Wait for us. They come, recite Bible texts, paragraphs, no verses. Imagine tell the kid, he says, tell us 50 places in the Bible where we can find the word redemption. That's memory verse. And it takes you from Genesis to Malachi, explaining to you. You tell the kids. That's what we should be doing on our Children's Day. If we want to do Children's Day, they'll bring the kids to the church. They'll come and display, or maybe you have an afternoon party. And they let the kids and say, alright. So we bring the kids. They say, alright, which of you can explain salvation to us in 10 minutes? And they come. They dress up with suit and tie. Teach us salvation while we drink coke. Remind us of our salvation. That is how to train the kids. Jesus at the age of 12. That shows you the kind of parents that Joseph and Mary was. Jesus at the age of 12. You know, Mary was the kind of woman that when the angel came to her and said, he said, you're going to be with a child. It is a Miko. Are we together? And Joseph was the kind of man that when the angel showed up to her, he says, hey, don't divorce that lady. He didn't say, come and marry her now. He was a spiritual man. And the lady was a spiritual woman. So God can use everyone. God can use anyone. God can use anyone. But God doesn't use anyone. Did you see that? God can use anyone, but God doesn't use anyone. God uses those who have prepared themselves for him. That's it. God can use anyone. He used a donkey, but he doesn't get to use anyone. I remember some time ago, I got someone healed outside, and then one Muslim guy walked up to say, it is easy of him to acknowledge what had been done. He was very proud. I remember vividly. He said, God can use anybody. He said in Yoruba, that God can use anybody's hands. So I now asked him, I said, when last did God use you to heal the sick? And I told him, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to embarrass you, but when last did God use you? Instead of you to acknowledge what had been done and give God praise, you are proud. Because you didn't want people. Because people were already like, wow, wow. I remember vividly. People were already like, wow, wow, wow. That is, wow, wow. So he just came with the way he dressed, and then he just said, you know, that God can use anybody. God can use the hands of anybody. When last did God use you? Praise the Lord. So we have a work to do to disciple people. Hallelujah. To make disciples. That's the text. That's what he's saying. Now have some just I'll talk for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and then I'll close. Is it clear? Alright. Yee. Are we together? All right, so I don't know what's on your mind, but I know what's on my own mind. Hallelujah. All right, so he says, so go and make disciples. So we said discipleship is communicating God's perspective to life and living, and inspiring people to live from that perspective. That's discipleship. To communicate, to make people to learn God's way, God's perspective to life and living, and training people to actually live that way. Our text again, Matthew 18, don't forget, 15, Jesus being a master of relationships. Matthew 18, 15. Then you read to verse 20. Where two or three people are gathered, it is together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So that Jesus is in the midst of reconciliation. Isn't that true? Matthew 19, he says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? And he said, for this cause shall the man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, the two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Then they said unto him, he said, why did Moses then command us to give a rising of divorcement to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. He says, but from the beginning it was not so. So we have to go and look at the beginning, right? We said the beginning was where Jesus fixed his relationship from. Or the beginning refers to the portion of the scriptures where Jesus uses to fix relationships. So we've been to the beginning, right? Genesis 1. We saw in 26, 27, 28, man functioning in the image of God. Genesis 2, verse 18, man being created insufficient. Hallelujah. And that sufficiency will be found in God through fellow men. So he makes a woman from the reed. Are we together? From the reed. And I explained what that implied to you. To make a woman from the rib is not that God removed this bone. Voo. He now did. Voo. And then the woman now comes out of it. And then man now say, wow, this is my rib. I can see my rib all over her. I know. Praise God. Some folks say, may we not miss the rib. How did they put it? Of our reserve, how did they put it? I've gone out of that word. I'm sorry. Take me back. Yes. I'm flesh of my flesh. All right. Also, I know there's something they say about rib. That may you find your missing rib. Is that what they say? Right? Is that what they say? Huh? Yeah, okay. That you will not carry the rib of some other person. Right? Right? Am I right? You will not carry some other people's rib. See, ribs have gone to different places. If you know how many people have taken ribs, that is not what the Bible is saying. But it's fine. When they say that, you say amen. So that peace can reign. Don't start saying, the Bible says, which Bible? One more. If your mom prays for you or your parents, will just say, even walk, do your face well. Amen. Oh God, kneel down. Amen. I'm doing sincerely, don't pretend. Because the angel can see you. So, but hey, that is not what the Bible is talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Okay? It's that doctrine that believes that there is somebody that God has prepared for you in the world. So what happens if the person dies? You say, ah, that's one of them. What happens if the baby dies? Am I going to be wifeless or husbandless? Because the rib of my rib is dead somewhere in the world. Or what happens if that person got distracted? You know, distracted and marry somebody? The marriage will break. The marriage will break. Okay, what if that person is in Afghanistan? What if that person is in Afghanistan? And it's one of the major proponents of the jihad.
Oh, God will get him saved and bring him to Nigeria and get him saved quickly so he can catch up with the word of God and have all the money and all of that. He said, this is the river of my life. Quit it and come of it. Are we together? See, marriage is a choice. That is why, look at this. I'm going to teach you on that maybe sometime later on, not now. But look at this. That's why you can't really learn all about marriage from Genesis 1 text. If marriage is a choice, then Adam and Eve is not a good example because he didn't have a choice. Did you get it? Now, is there what we can learn from it? Yes. Does it teach all of marriage? No. Are we together? The guy didn't have a choice. And the woman too, they have a choice. You just see one another. I want to call her in this garden. And then maybe she must have told him, look at that. It looks like me, it's Babu. I thought it was a man being. Okay, I'm back, sir. Praise God. You know, the text even made it look as though Adam was searching for helpmate among the animals, right? It says God made all the animals, brought it to him to see what he would call it. And we have thought all sorts of rubbish from it. How can God do that? Oh. So God brought him all the animals to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, they were. And they, for Adam, there was not found. So it looked as though he was searching. Maybe it's lion. This thing is too for me. Before he just came into two. No. I'm in the image of God, what have you ever image? I said, look at her again. Maybe he saw an antelope. He said, this is too tall. He said, No. That's not it. I think I put something on the media some days ago, that if you are not patient and scholarly minded, you will not understand Moses' writings. See, Moses was one of the most intellectual men of his day. So you think you want to understand his writings by just being casual? More so, whatever he's writing is 6,000 years away from your world. Is it clear? So as a Bible student, you calm down. You have to go into Moses' world and find out what he's saying meant to his audience. That's how to read the Bible. Amen. But the challenge many times is that a lot of people just come to preach, you know, from Bible text. You open the Bible to preach. You don't have a study life on your own which seeks to understand what exactly the Bible texts are saying. You must have a study life before you start going out to teach God's word. Praise God. You know, so there's really nothing like that. You know, God, marriage is a choice. Amen. That means God expects you to choose. Is it clear? God expects you to choose. You know, God brings men around you, brings women around you, expects you to choose. And the moment you choose, you have what you have chosen. Is it clear? Then you don't. Then stick to the choice. Stick to the choice. To love, to honor, to respect. Is it clear? As it was on Thursday, that in building relationships, I gave you virtues, right? What were the virtues? Maybe we should even start from there, all right? I've started teaching. So what were the virtues I gave us? What was the statement I gave you? I gave you a body of statement. So can you give it back to me? The last paragraph you probably wrote, the body of statement I gave you, can you read it out loudly? Go ahead, I'm not listening to you, just go ahead. Remind yourselves. Go ahead, I want you to read out loudly to yourself. Read what you wrote. Want to go? You are not loud enough. Want to go? People didn't write. Amen. Put your eyes on the first place. Put your eyes back there. Start from where I said. So what did I say? Let me find what I said. Okay. All right. So I said that God relate with me, right? In the midst of what? Relationships. Alright, so start from there and read everything you wrote from that point to the end loudly and to yourself. Look into your notes and read loudly unto yourselves. Once you go, some of you can't see your writings.
If Moses wrote like you, will we have anything to read? I should expose you. I just say, exchange your notes. This classroom, okay? Alright, so don't exchange your notes. Alright, so just start from there, loudly and clear. If you can't see what you wrote, look into your neighbor's notes. But I don't know if you will see what your neighbor also wrote. They will know that we have another issue. Maybe I should teach God's word, God's intention for writing. I can teach anything. Alright, where to go? Why has your voice is gone down? Where's your voice? Ah, I catch you. Hope you did not start from where we started last week teaching. You should have finished reading by now. You wrote more than I said, or the Spirit was guiding into the truth when you got to. Praise God. Alright, let's pick it up from there. Praise God. Quickly. So we said that God locates me in the midst of God-given relationships. We said a lot of things already, so I don't want to go back into that. I'm just moving from there. So I said, no matter how vast a task is that God has given to you, no matter how big a vision is that God has for you, no matter how large the plan is that God has for you and I, the very first thing or the very next thing He gives us, are we together? Or after having a plan for our lives, after having a vision for us, after God having a plan for us, the next thing He gives to us is what? Relationships. So I told you last week that God created us as relational beings. You cannot survive the earth without relationships. So God wants us to have the wisdom to handle relationships well. You have to be a master at handling relationships. I told you, the way you treat relationships is the way you treat God's plan for your life. So you can't be a casual person, a careless person. Anything goes. No! Anything doesn't go. God is particular about relationships. He sets up relationships. So, like we said on Thursday evening, we said that God locates you in the midst of relationships. The things He has for you are present in relationships. You see, that's how God works. God will put what you need in another person. He will put what that person needs in you. He now expects you and the person to be in a healthy, godly relationship to assess those things. I told you several weeks ago that it actually costs nothing for God to put both the sperm and the egg in one individual. But He didn't do that. And that is nature teaching you that you need another person. To even do something as basic as multiplying your kind, you need another person. That is nature. That's God using nature to teach you that to even carry out basic purpose, you need
to be in good relationship with another person. So God put this in this in the male. He put that in the female, in the woman. The man and the woman will now have to be in a healthy relationship to procreate. The same thing with other relationships. That I told you. Sometimes the resources you need, what you are calling breakthrough, 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 what we are calling miracles, miracles, sometimes miracle is just a kind heart. Miracles is just meeting somebody with a kind heart. And you must know how to treat people. And when God has brought a relationship your way, you also must know how to sustain relationships. How to sustain it. Ask your neighbor, say, do you know how to sustain relationships in a godly way? Yeah. Ask the fellow again, say, do you know? Say, have you learned how to sustain relationships in a godly way? Yes. Is it clear? And that's God's plans for you now. So I said also that the relationships will now function through, I gave us 7 to 8 virtues. Right? 8, right? What's the first one? Persuasion. See, you must know how to persuade. You know, say, but he said no. Me too. How? Are we together? You must know how to apologize. See, when you apologize, you are handling it God's way. You're a Christian. You must know how to apologize. You must know how to say sorry. A parent must know how to say sorry to the children. Especially in the African home. I said especially. Because where we are here, sorry in the kingdom. Oshimbinu. Our parents, you're just making your defense. So this, when couples fight and they want to say sorry, they just say sorry by asking themselves foolish questions. The light that on when we open the freezer, does it still on? It has gone to heaven. You just ask one foolish question and they both understand. Just ask one foolish question. When you were coming, was that the man by the junction? Is he still there when you were coming? Rapture took him yesterday night. You know, that mustn't be your answer. You will just worsen the whole thing. Are we together? That some of our parents, when they are going, just leave them alone. Leave them alone. They know how to sort themselves out. Some of you will be bothered. My daddy and my mommy, it's getting to me. Oh, God. I don't know. I said, he's the one that knew what he saw in her, that he married her. Were you the one that introduced your mom to your dad? They will fix their issues. They always fix it. You focus on your own life. Is it clear? Focus. Amen. You must know how to say sorry. You're a Christian. Matthew 18. Jesus says, if a brother of yours has an ought against you, he says, you go to him. That is persuasion. To go after someone for the sake of reconciliation.
Then the next thing I mentioned is what? Communication. So in building relationships, you don't say, I'm not the communicating type. Are we together? Communication. In fact, science actually studied. Science shows that one of the greatest, in fact, the foremost virtue that builds relationship is communicating. You have an appointment to be somewhere, you're going to run late, and you say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Hope you know that's communication. That's communication. You're not interested in something, and you call someone and say, I'm not interested in it again. That's communication. The fellow is going to respect you. Communication. In different ways, though. Now, communication. It requires communication. Are we together? Relationships are built through, what's the next thing I mentioned? Honor. See, everything glows where it is honored. Look at his life, for example. Did you know that the reason why it could serve us is because we put it where it belongs? That is honor. If we put this light and we remove this light and we put it under our seat and we sit on it, it ain't going to bless us anymore. Because that's not where it belongs. Honor is to find out where someone belongs and allow the person to occupy the place. And don't let one idiot tell you it is human worship. No, you are the one that knows what that person is doing in your life. You don't let one stranger run their mouth. It's your husband or your wife or your parents or your pastor or your elder siblings. No. Someone come around you, he say, that your father. He's a bastard though. And you say, my father. I've been thinking about it too. Are you really not the bastard? See, I thought about it. You just expressed my thoughts. Wow. You mean my dad is a bastard? Really? Let me ask my dad. Hello, daddy, I met somebody today who said, you know, something must be wrong with you. The moment you are done asking the question, the brother is just carrying to the hospital. I say, is this my home? Oh, Mali. Are we together? Now, is that not what some of you do about your pastors and people God used for you? You allow people to run their mouths against them. And you say nothing. In fact, some of you are so careless, you now begin to see that man of God in the same lens of the person who has spoken to you. No. I told someone, I said, when you listen to the blogs about pastors, the target is not the person that the blog was talking about. The target is your own pastor. That's the target. Your pastor is not in the blog. See, that blog is not against that man. Satan is against that office called pastors. Yes, pastors should be sensible. Are we together? And not get involved in controversial stuff. But hey, you are a Christian also. Including online. You're a Christian there. You're a Christian online. You go on Twitter. You see all manner of tweets. I told someone, I said, one of the challenges of the African community is that we no more have good leaders. And there's also a, why did he say that? So I said, you see, now the conversation was on politics and some others. I said, we don't have good leaders. So the fellow thought I was going to talk about our presidents messing up and all that. For example, see, you will never hear me. You have never heard it from me before. I have never used my mouth to pull down the image
of any Nigerian president. You will never hear me say that. Now, it doesn't mean they are doing well. It doesn't mean they are doing fine. But you are a Christian. First of all, aside from bearing false witness that many Nigerians are guilty of, and as against God's word, many of the things that you blame people for, you are not different. As someone I said, because it takes leaders to recognize leaders. If you are not a leader in the capacity, it's not likely you are going to recognize leaders. See, they don't all have to be religious leaders. No. See, if you are a leader of an academic institution, you will have an idea of what a governor of the state can be carrying. Now, when there are issues and they are being handled in different ways, there is a way you are going to get involved because you know leadership. There are things you are going to say. There's a way you are going to say it. So it doesn't. They don't all have to be political leaders. They don't all have to be. They don't all have to be. I mean, if you just lead in a capacity, you will have some compassion. Even when you are going to criticize, you will make sure it is constructive. It takes leaders to recognize leaders when they see one. So when you see a generation of people make leadership figures to take the fall at all times for what is happening, just know in that generation we have scarcity of leaders. You pull on religious leaders, pull them down. You pull on academic leaders, you pull them down. You pull on political leaders, you pull them down. You look at institutions that are being built, you pull them down. Somebody has probably achieved 100 times what you can achieve in a lifetime, you pull it down because you have camera and data. You're not the leader. Just by leading WhatsApp group in Nigeria, you know what I'm talking about. Why do you have group and you block out you tell people, don't post any whatever. As you are saying, don't post, they will still post it. Now imagine an admin and they just fighting. So they will block out, they will lock the chat, Abby. Freedom of speech, lock the chat. Are we together, church? Honor. Someone say honor. Honor means to put things where they want, they belong. So you look at your life and you look at the different people in your life and you allow people to occupy the places that God has allowed them to occupy. Parents must occupy places. Are we together? Are we together? Family. It's a work you have to do, but that's how to build relationships. So when there's someone in my life, I must learn to find out what place does this person occupy. Don't mix apples with oranges. Are you listening to me? Don't mix what? Apples with what? Oranges. So what place does this person occupy? That's honor. What place does this person occupy? What place does this person occupy? Is it clear? You must recognize people. Open your eyes. If someone is the leader of a body that you are in, don't say, leader, call. Don't say that. Don't say that. You are in an organization. And then they introduce, they said, this person is the leader, is the president of that organization. I'm not talking about church now. I'm talking outside. And you are present there. Don't say neither did any. Don't say that. When others are saying that, don't say that. Don't say that. Because you're sowing seeds. Don't say that. If you don't have anything good to say or commendable to say, maybe because the person has fallen below the standard, keep quiet. Let it not be recorded of you that he said anything that will pull down the image of any leader anywhere. By the way, the fact that you knew something is wrong does not mean you can do it rightly if you are sitting there. Doesn't mean. We'll have to wait for you to also get there. And sometimes, if you talk too much, you will not get there. Did you get it, church? Did you get it? Yeah. Don't let it be recorded in chats, in comments, on media spaces, comments, TikTok, comments, chats. Don't let it be recorded. Class reps, SEG, whatever, your boss at work, your employee, the owner of your organization, the leader in the family. Don't let it be recorded anywhere that you said things that could pull down the image or that could lead others to come and disrespect the leader. Don't be part of it. And when you do that, many times you find out that you will rise into the rank. God will work it out. That's if you still stay around such endeavors. But God's going to work it out. Because you know how to handle leadership. Honor. Someone say honor. What's the next thing I told you? Patience. Building godly relationships requires what? Patience. Before you say that thing, patience. Patience. If you can't say it without yelling, don't say it. Don't say, yeah. Don't say it. Don't say it. If you can't say it without cursing, don't say it. Wait till you can say it without what? Having to curse. Are we together? Don't say it. Patience. Not that you're driving, another person is driving as he drives by, and then he drove rough. He said, bye bye. You two say, mama, mama. No, don't say that. That's rough. They are not dirty. You are not dirty. Patience in our relationships. Patience. Sometimes, wait till you have had the conversation with the person before talking to somebody about it. Patience. Wait till you have had the conversation. Say, yeah, but I can't wait. He's boiling in me. That means you are the problem. You lack emotional intelligence. Yeah, I just feel like if I don't say it like this, I'll not say it like a short talk. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. The real way to say it is when you are what? Calm. When you are in control. See, you can't be in control of relationship if you're in control of your heart, your own emotions, your own will, your own self. Calm it. Have you not heard what Solomon said? Solomon said, he says, the man who conquered a city is not as powerful as a man who has control. That's what Solomon said. He said, the one who has conquered his own self is stronger than the man who conquers the whole city. That's the word of God. That means when you are in self-control, God thinks of you more noble than somebody who conquers nations. Have you not seen those who conquer nations and then they go for like these worldly musicians? Can't you see what's happening in their marital life? It's all dirty and chaotic.
Some of them don't know the trouble that they are breeding until they left this earth. You have like 50 baby, 10 baby mothers. Do you understand what you're doing? You have 5 baby mothers, 10 baby mamas. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means to bring a human being into this world? Do you know what it means? Do you know the power of a soul rightly positioned? Do you know what it means to bring another human being into this world? Then you set up chaotic homes and families. The real life of women. You bring men into the world who are not cared for. No image, no model, no character. Nothing to mirror how to live. They now have to depend on society and scout about to know how to live. That ain't God's plan, man. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. So those are people conquering cities. Are we together? He said, I go to this nation. Oh, the old Sidon was packed to the full. God thinks more highly of who have self-control. And who has won the minds of the people. Because the one that has won the minds of the people, because of lack of self-control, is going to ruin their hearts and lead them astray. Young folks will now see those guys as the way to live. Young ladies will now see those people. You now see those people as, Mitch, I want to be like, the way to live. He said, no. God thinks highly of a man and a woman that has self-control. Patience. Someone says patience. What else? Love and affection. Relationships to be built requires a great demonstration of love and affection. Use good words on people. Don't say that. See, don't say something that when you are done speaking, the person thinks less of himself. Don't say that. Don't say things that when you are done speaking, the person looks at himself and say, why am I alive? I say, if I speak to you, you will just go and kill yourself. What is that thing coming out from your mouth that is stronger than poison? Because even poison, sometimes people survive it. But you are so sure that when you have spoken, that means you are a snake. Yes. You are a viper, that your words are venomous. See, I'm not a viper. You're not. You build relationships. Your words are medicine. Someone had done something and doesn't feel so turbulent and everything is upside down. And he sits in front of you. Then you're there. Sometimes you're wondering, what do I say? And you pray. And then when you open your mouth, storms begins to what? Begins to calm. That's the man of God. That's you. That's you. That's why I like times when I'm in close conversations with people. When I'm done talking, you know who you are. Any confusion about who you are will clear out. Will clear off. You won't struggle with it again. Are we together? You won't struggle with it again. Your words are medicine. Your words are healing. That is the Christian. Because you function in whose image? In the image of God. Don't say, if I open my mouth and I talk, you go and hang yourself. Don't say that. Am I teaching God's word here?
Are you learning something? Or am I talking to you like babies? If what I'm saying is too low for you, I'll just close my Bible and go. Am I treating you like a kid by what I'm saying? No. It's God's word. And it's simple this morning. Is it clear? I'm not using any Greek or Hebrew. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say things that will make people, you know, to think less of themselves. I've heard about people who had gone to commit crimes because of the kind of words that their parents spoke about them. In fact, there was a study, I think I shared it with us some time ago, while we were teaching on the fatal words or something like that, how to use your word. I told you, there was a study that was done some years ago in the U.S. They gathered the hardened criminals. They gathered them, and then a clinical psychologist went down into their lineage and discovered that about 90% of them were abused with words by their parents. The parents, at one point or the other, were abusive with words. They spoke words into them that the child grew up, meditated, and when the challenges of life came, the person just felt like, ah, but this is what this person said now. It creates a loophole to experiment crime. My words are medicine. You know, if your words are medicinal, you won't just use it anyhow. Football. Politics. You have not read. You have not listened to me. Just say, that's our president. He's a goat. All of that. All men have come. And your dad? Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth asking. Your dad? It's a simple question. Thank you. A simple question. All women are this. Your mom? And your sisters? Come off it. My words are medicinal. See, people notice you when you use noble words. Solomon said, sometimes when a foolish person doesn't talk, he is perceived as wise. Did you see that? It means the way you handle words affects perception. It affects how people perceive you. The way you handle words. Words. A word gives you out because they are a reflection of your thoughts, your life, your belief system, your words. Patience. Love and affection. What's the next dimension? Sacrifice. Relationships are built through what? I'm so close. Relationships are built through what? If you don't know the meaning of sacrifice, you can't build relationships. You know, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about relationships generally. Sacrifice. Sometimes the fellow you're sacrificing for might not even know it at that time. But that is the language of relationships. Associations become stronger through sacrifice. And sacrifice means to esteem that person and his needs higher than yours at the moment. Sacrifice is the same in marital relationships. Business relationships, neighborhood, sibling, family, sacrifice. That is how relationships are built. If you can't sacrifice, you can't build friendship. You spell friendship. It's not spelled as you pronounce it. It is spelled sacrifice. Sacrifice, that's friendship. You let go your time, your resources when it is not convenient. Are we together? You want to build friendship? You don't go to birthdays. You can't build relationships that way. You attend the birthday. I feel like staying at home, dress up and go. That is how to build relationships. Get up and go. The only reason why you won't go is because maybe you have something bigger that is happening. Is it clear? That's it. Something bigger. Something more massive. A friend is getting wedded in the church or even outside the church. You pick up your whatever, you ask them, what is the color of the clothes? You buy it and go. They say, I miss some gospel. I will have my own disciples. I say, shut up, go! Get out, y'all! Are we together? He said, I'm reaching the nation. Oh, God. Go. Now that you have gone and you are back, did you go to the nation and say you should leave us alone? Did the nation leave us alone? Build a relationship. Sacrifice. So now you have to travel across cities. Go. Except, of course, like I said, there's something what? Bigger that is happening. Is it clear? Something bigger, something more massive that is happening. You have a ministry assignment, you have a ministry responsibility, but there's something happening in your own life, you can't mention, yeah, that's fine. And let the person know, communication. Is it clear? Communication. That's how you build relationships. And the way we build relationships that are godly is also similar. Don't say, he's a man of the spirit. Do it. He's a man of the spirit. Go to the wedding of the man of the spirit. He will walk in love. Mm-mm. Don't do it that way. Don't say they walk in love towards me. Pastor have taught us that we should walk in love so I can do this to him. I know he walk in love towards me. No. That is you tempting the person. So when you know the person will walk in love, you too don't tempt the person. Are we together? Now, when Satan came, he said Jesus should jump. Now, if Jesus had jumped, is it likely that he will be supernaturally preserved? Yes. But he said that was what? Tempting God. Some of us don't know the difference between trusting God and tempting God. There are two different things. Are we together? That's tempting God. When you disobey him, knowing that he will come to your aid, you are tempting him. You already knew his will, you knew his plan, you knew his provision, you knew his intention, that he will watch for you, he will provide for you, he will meet your needs. Then you deliberately disobey him because you know he is faithful. You are tempting him. It says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Rather, you will worship him. Worship means to obey and to serve. Love and affection, sacrifice was the next time mentioned. Loyalty. Relationships requires what? Loyalty. See, loyalty is I am for you even when you are not for me. That's loyalty. Now imagine two. I am for you even if you are not for me. And the other one says, I am for you even if you are not. Imagine those two individuals who are now loyal. You see a strong relationship. Is that not how God builds relationship with us? By sticking with us even when we are what? Unfaithful. Now as you grow spiritually, you are putting on the character of the Father. It means in your relationships, it is Christian to be loyal. Hey, it is Christian to do what? To be faithful. It is Christian to be faithful. And loyalty means that I will stick to what we agreed upon even when the circumstances change. That is loyalty. That is commitment. That is faithfulness. Even when the circumstances change, I will stick to our agreements. Glory to God forevermore. And these are virtues that build relationships. Self-control. These are virtues that build relationships. So let me close with this simple snippet. In Genesis 2:15, quickly. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed so far today? Great. In Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep. To dress it and to keep. Or to keep it. We said the word dress there is the word abad, right? Right? Which means is the work used for worship, is used for self, is used for devotion. Abad. To devote to something so as to increase it. Alright. So if he says he would dress the garden, he would devote himself to the garden. Are we together? So as to expand it. So God's intention for the Garden of Eden is that the garden will what? Expand. By the activities of who? Of man functioning in his what? Image. So man functioning in God's image will expand what? The garden. Is that where we were? Thank you. He says to keep it, Shama. And Shama means to watch over something. Again, it also means guard. To watch over something. It means to attend to something and to preserve it. To preserve. That's the Hebrew word Shama. To guard, to watch, to keep watch, to attend to, and to preserve the garden. Notice that the garden was put on the earth, right? And I told you that that means not all of the earth was the garden. We've seen that, right? And man was not put on the earth directly. He was put on the in the garden. The garden is now placed where? In the earth, right? So as man functions in God's image in the garden will what? Spread. Don't forget the garden is an imagery of perfection. God's presence. God's plan. Can we say God's temple? From what we have studied so far. Can we say God's temple? So now, don't forget what was God's intention? That the whole earth will be what? His temple. Right? But he started out with the what? The garden. Notice when God related with man, he came into the what? The garden. So the garden describes where God relates with man. Did you see that? And God wants his what? To fill the earth. And the filling of the earth will be whose job? Man's job. But for man to be able to do that job, man will have to function in whose image? God's image. So man, not functioning in God's image, will not spread the garden. Rather, we even see that man was now ejected. Are we together? Follow this. So look at this. We said, God created man. I'll soon close, okay? Put him in the garden. The garden is in the earth. Said that severally already. So the whole earth is not the garden. We said that also severally. But the garden will increase and fill the earth as man does what? Can we say function in the image of God? So what is that function in the image of God? As it keeps and what? Dresses the garden. Thank you. As it dresses the garden and keeps it. Which is what it meant by functioning in the will of God. Or in the image of God. So the whole earth is not the garden. But the garden will increase and fill the earth as man functions in God's image. That is, as man what? Keeps and dresses the garden. Don't forget the garden will function as God's temple in earth. God's temple. The temple will therefore fill the earth. Are we saying the same thing? That is the garden filling the earth. The temple will fill the earth. And the temple filling the earth is man's work. Which man? Man in the image of God. Are we together? So man therefore, or God, therefore, will through man make the whole earth his dwelling place. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? God, through man, will make the whole earth
God's dwelling place. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, we saw, these are conclusions. He says to subdue the earth. He says to replenish the earth. He says to have dominion. To have dominion. To have dominion, like we said again, is for man to spread God's influence. Amen? And God's plan. To have dominion. To have dominion is for man to spread God's influence and God's plan. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Okay. Let me ask you, therefore, can we say that to have dominion is man spreading the garden? Wait. I'll pick on that thought February next year during our committee. So that we can see that having dominion is a specific activity. I've seen some folks say, have dominion, that means, he says they call them apostles to the marketplace. I believe the gospel has not been as ill-treated as describing the work of the gospel with those adjectives. So, he said, some people believe that, having dominion is Christians, look at this, having dominion is Christians going into the music sector and then using the beats that the world is vibing. See the way I'm doing my head? Using the beats and the melody that the world is vibing in to communicate the gospel to them. So when they are saying, help us, okay. Which will now be saying, oh Jesus Christ. So he says, that is having dominion. You're stupid. That statement, have dominion, is not an open statement. The text explains it. Is it clear? It is actually spreading the garden. So don't go to Genesis and pick a text and apply it to yourself. Take the whole counsel and work in it. So spreading the garden today is actually discipling people and preaching the gospel. Are you with me? We qualify that more during our committee. So the dominion in Genesis 1:26, we said, will be whose dominion? God's dominion, right? God's dominion becomes man's mission on the earth. Or, let me say to the earth. But let me say on the earth. Well, you understand? God's dominion becomes man's mission. So, look at me, everybody. What is man's mission on the earth? God's dominion. Is it clear? Preaching the gospel and living the gospel. I want to close, you know. Preaching the gospel and what? Lifestyle of the gospel. Is it clear? I know you are among students and they have what they do on Friday night, Saturday night. They dress up, use their lip gloss and wear the wig that they have borrowed, and they dress in some colors with some clothing styles, and they go so that boys can come around and say, hey babe, how are you, what's up, and we go for a ride. So you hop in and then you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. So look at that. Amen. But look at you. You're a woman of God. You're a man of God. That's who you are. Is it clear? You have dominion. Do you get it?
That is by spreading the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is not of this world. People would have rushed to you and like it. That's why you pray. When you pray and you stay in the place of prayer for long, definitely that kind of prayer could not be problem inspired. It is purpose inspired. I told you there are two kinds of prayer life. There is problem based prayer life. You are praying because the challenge has come. That prayer life doesn't do God's will. But there is purpose-driven prayer life. Are we together? I am praying because of what God is doing on the earth. Glory to God forevermore. I'm praying because of what God is doing on the earth. Amen? So, if you stay in prayer, and you stay long in prayer, you will have dominion. Ushopa. Is it clear? Because the light that you have will be so strong in its shining that darkness will see it as a greater intelligence. So look at this. Man's mission on the earth is to demonstrate God's dominion. That is our mission. So I know we are engineers. We have engineers in church who are practicing. We have tech guys in the church who are practicing. We have medical people in the church who are practicing. We also have people in the pipeline who are in the schools. Are we together? Campuses. We have students on campus. We have employers of organization here. So it doesn't matter what your concern is on the earth. And you're good at it. You're a sound engineer somewhere and you're good at it. Are we together? You're a medical doctor and you're good at it. I mean, you don't pray in tongues to... No. You've read books. Is it clear? I mean, you are a surgeon. Surgeons read books. Is it clear? You read books. You watch procedures. You've equipped yourself with knowledge and insight. So as we do that in our world, some of us are traders. That means you go to conferences, you learn about business. You don't come to church to learn about business. No church teaches people about business. Are we together? No church even can. Is it clear? So you learn and you do well in your natural ventures, but there's a primary vision. God's dominion. Through preaching and living the life of a gospel. I'll talk about that more later. So it begins in the garden, right? Right? But it will spread out of Eden to all the earth. So look at this before I close. The whole earth is therefore not Eden. Is that true? Is that true? The whole earth was not Eden in Genesis. Is that true? Today, is the whole earth yet Eden? No. But is God's plan the whole earth Eden? So God's plan is a global Eden. A global Eden. And man will function as God's image toward one another. So man will see God in man. Are we together? That's what you do when you preach and live the gospel. Others will see the Father in you. And you are spreading the Eden. Because the earth is man, not rocks and all of that. So all the earth. So when it says all the earth full of my glory, it's talking about Eden taking everywhere. Or everywhere becoming Eden. That means the Spirit of God will come to dwell in the heart of every man. That's where we're going. That is the mission. But look at this. If Eden mirrors man's relationship with God and it involves other people, it implies that you are also not to be in relationship with everybody at once. Because the Eden is spreading. You can't be in relationship with everybody at once. The Eden is spreading, should spread. What does that show me? It means my relationship with other people is not without caution. So I don't say, because I want to be in relationship with everybody, nobody has asked you to be in relationship with everybody. I never said that. You cannot. If I look at this, does God want to be in relationship with everybody? Yes. Is he? No. Did you see that?
But we are saying that those you have relationships with, how do you build it? Is it clear? And the relationships that God has brought around you, how do you what? Protect them. You aren't going to be in relationship with everybody. You cannot be. There are even some folks who don't want to be in relationship with you. Are you going to go? You going to force them? You can't force them. God can't force them. You can't force them. To force them will be like lowering your standards. And it's not really lowering your standard. It's actually compromising who you are. But you can compromise who you are. You are the image of God. Are we together? So you cannot be in relationship with every man, with every woman, with everybody. You cannot be. Even God does not expect you to be in relationship with everybody. Does that make sense to some of us who have been asking questions along that line in our hearts? That make sense to you? You cannot be. Pray for me, let me close. So look at this. God does not ask too much from you. So whatever we are teaching in our study on relationships does not give a blanket to relate without caution. Someone say, I don't relate without caution. I don't relate without caution. So look at this. Man is therefore made to relate, but he relates on God's terms. He relates on God's what? Terms. Don't forget that you are the image of God, right? And it's from that place you function. So you relate on God's terms. I build my relationships upon that identity. I am in God's image. Hallelujah. And this image is filling the earth. Men like you is God's plan. You right there now. You, men like you. With desire for God. With joy when the things of God are on the increase. With joy when more men are getting born again. When God is at work among his people working miracles. With joy in your heart. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he says, pray that the word of the Lord will have a free course. As it is with you. Hallelujah. That means the same place that God's word has in you. Pray. That it will have in others' lives also. Men like you. Someone say, men like me. Functioning in God's image. Men like you. This is humanity as God has designed. Humanity will function in his image. This is happening. Hallelujah. It is happening. It's happening all around us. In 2026, it is happening. The glory of God is filling Tanke, Ilori, Malete, Ofa, Upomosho. That's why I told you that when we gather together, it's a gathering of who? Disciples. So, we are not going to say, oh, we are having popcorn service. You heard about that before. And they say, oh, let's have church, street and night. Or we say we have booze and bays hangout. No. Not here. Disciples. Disciples. Will it take sacrifice? I'll pay the price. Pay the price in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll be joyful as what God does. I will forget the pain and the difficulties. When that one soul is won, I will forget how long it took me to reach that vessel with the gospel.
have a vision, a global Eden. And it is happening here and now. And it's happening in your day. That more men on the earth are functioning in God's image. It is happening in our generation. That more men than the earth has ever experienced will function in God's image. The Spirit of God finds a burden in more hearts of more men in my time. And I am directly linked to it. Even after my time, and I am indirectly linked to it. That is God's mandate. That is God's mandate. And it's happening. I will forget how much opposition I went through. Challenges. Resources I had to spare. I had to part with. I will forget it when that one person is establishing the church of God. And is also preaching like me. And is also teaching the word. When that fellow who used to be a smoker, that fellow who used to take drugs, hard drugs, that lady who used to follow men about and prostitute, I will rejoice when that fellow is found on our pulpit somewhere in the world preaching the gospel. Yes. Yes. I'll be glad when that fellow who used to be held in addiction to drugs, no man of distracted and wondrous living, is now winning souls. I will be glad. Why am I glad? Because there's joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven as the garden spreads. There's joy in heaven as the man functions in the image of God. So we trust God's Spirit. We trust the help of God. That in the new year, it will be a season of solid relationships in the gospel and by the gospel. We'll learn God's word and building natural relationships. We'll receive God's word and building supernatural relationships. But we'll also start out new fires. Hallelujah. We'll start out new relationships. Relationships between men and the Lord. You see, one of the things that God has given you as a gift is that you can now initiate other people's relationship with Him. I rejoice at that. Hallelujah. And it is happening, church. It is happening. Lift up your hands and give me praise for being part of it. It is happening. Week in, week out, it is happening. Year in, year out, it is happening. It happened all over 2025. We are grateful. And we're hoping for more, even to the overflow. Overflow relationships in the gospel. Overflow applications by the gospel. Overflow relationships in the natural. Overflow relationships supernatural. We receive. We receive. Happening. Let us.